B'siyata d'shmaya, we're learning Psochim daf ein dalet amud aleph, the new Mishnah, a new Perek. Ketzad tzoylin, we've learned already, the Pasuk says that the Korban Pesach has to be roasted. Tzli eish, roasted, not just roasted any which way, but it has to be roasted, be'esh, it has to be roasted with fire. Ketzad tzoylin es ha-Pesach, how did they used to roast the Korban Pesach? So the Mishnah says, Mavin shpud shel rimoin, they would bring a spit, a stick, a wooden stick. It has to be wood, and it has to be from the pomegranate tree. V'toichvei l'toich piv, and they poke the stick into the mouth of the Korban Pesach, ad beis nukuvosoi, and it comes out at the back passage of the animal. And that's the whole animal is then going to be held, suspended, on this stick, on this spit. Now, what about the legs and the insides, with the lower parts of the legs which had been cut off, and the inside, some of the insides of the animals that have been taken out, they've been washed, they also need to be roasted. Where do they go? So Rabbi Yosi Haglili holds, v'noisin es krov ve'es b'nei me'ov, the legs and the insides of the animal, l'toichai, because we opened up the chest, the front of the animal, took out what had to be taken out, and now that you've got this carcass of the animal, when it's being roasted, they would put the other parts back in. So to speak, it would be held within the animal itself. Divi Rabbi Yosi Haglili, that's the opinion of Rabbi Yosi Haglili. Rabbi Akiva Oimer, Rabbi Akiva voices reservation against that. He says, Kamin Bishul Huzeh, if the insides are being, so to speak, made edible whilst held inside the carcass of the animal, that's a type of a bishul, that's the way you cook. Roasting is when the area that's being roasted is exposed to the fire, not when it's held inside the body of the animal, that the body of the animal is being roasted. Elo toilin chutzoloi. They would hang the legs and the insides, the intestines, the bnei me'ov, they would be hanging outside the animal, wrapped around the spit, and we'll see in the Gemara exactly where, whether it was on the side of the animal, but outside of the animal, or whether it was on top of the, where the mouth of the animal was, that means, so to speak, like a hat, the animal would be on the spit, and where the mouth is, on top of the animal, so to speak, would be, these parts were poked into that spit as well, and then it was face down. We'll soon see that the mouth of the animal was actually held downwards when being roasted, and somehow they would make sure that the bits that the akrov and the bnei me'ov would not fall off. We'll see in the Gemara. Continues the Mishnah, Ein tzoylin es ha-Pesach, one's not allowed to roast the Korban Pesach, loy al ha-shpud, not on a metal spit, v'loy al ha-askela, nor on a grill. Continues the Gemara, Omer b'tzadik, Ma'aseh b'Rabbi Gamliel, there was an incident with Rabbi Gamliel. Sha'omar l'Tovi Avdoi, he had this famous slave called Tovi, and he said to him, "Tzei, go out with Tzlei Lonu Es HaPesach and roast for us the Korban Pesach alo askela on a grill." And obviously the question is, we just said a moment ago, "V'loy alo askela," you're not allowed to roast the Korban Pesach on a grill, and here we have an incident where Rabbi Gamliel did do that, and the Gemara is obviously going to ask that and discuss it. Says the Gemara, V'naisi shel matchas. Why do you have to take a spit from a pomegranate tree? Why can't you bring a metal spit, which is what one would normally use to roast something or on a fire? Answers the Gemara, Aydi decham miktsosai cham kuloi. Since the part of the spit, the part that's not inside the animal, the part that's sticking out, that's exposed to the fire, gets very hot. And we know that metal transmits heat. So if part of the metal spit is hot, the part of the metal spit that's inside the animal is going to consequently also get hot. And then the animal, the part of the inside of the animal, the part that is touching the spit, is going to get roasted machmas hashpud. It's not the fire that's going to roast it, it's the heat of the metal spit that's going to roast it. And that's no good. V'rachmona, our mother Torah says, tzli eish, it has to be roasted by the fire, v'loy tzli machmas davar achir, and not roasted via anything else, for example, the heat of the metal spit. Asks the Gemara of a nice shel dekel, why do you have to bring a spit from wood of a pomegranate tree? Why don't you bring that of a palm tree? Answers the Gemara, aydi di isle shivi, the palm tree has grooves in it, and since there's grooves, then mapik maya, it releases some liquid or fluid, you know, water type of substance, which gets very hot in the fire, in the oven. The hot liquid that oozes out of those grooves is going to in turn cook part of the Korban Pesach instead of allowing that part of the Korban Pesach to be roasted, and therefore we don't use it. Asks the Gemara of Anaisi Shel Te'eno, why don't you use a piece of wood from a fig tree, and that does not have grooves? Answers the Gemara, Aydi de Mechalchel, since the branches of a fig tree, they actually are slightly hollow. And therefore, Mapik Mayo, since it's hollow, then also some liquid will ooze out of the stick, V'havale Kamavushal, and then it will be similar to cooking part of the Korban Pesach, and not roasting it, and that's an issue. Asks the Gemara of Anaisi, why don't you use the wood shel aloin shel charuv v'shel shikmo? Another three different types of trees. Answers the Gemara, Aidi de isbe kitzri, since they have knots, which are these round pieces of the bark of the tree that is somewhat protruding from the branches, and you have to cut them off in order to poke the stick through the animal. It has to be smooth. And these knots make it not smooth, so you have to cut them off. And again, at the place where you cut the knots off, since an incision has been made into the wood, then again some liquids will ooze out and it will end up Mapik Mayo, and the water will come out of it and end up cooking the Korban Pesach instead of roasting it. Ask the Gemara, Shel Rimoy Nami Isbe Kitri. If you're worried about these knots that you're going to have to remove, then how can the Mishnah say you can use a spit from a pomegranate tree? They also have knots. Answers the Gemara, Shi'i Kitri. The knots that the pomegranate tree have are smooth, and therefore they do not disturb us from poking the spit through the animal. They do not need to be removed. But Navgo Barashota, we're talking about a sapling, a very young tree, which is just a year old, Delesbe Kitri, that does not yet have any knots. Asks the Gemara, that any spit you use, Vahoika Be Poske, the place where you actually cut the branch off the tree, it's been cut there, and some of the liquid from inside the tree is going to ooze out, and again we'll have an issue of Mevashel, of cooking the Korban Pesach instead of roasting it. Answers the Gemara, de mapik lebe piske, that he leaves the part where he cut the wood lebar outside the animal, and therefore even if a few drops of liquid will come out of it, it will not actually touch the animal, it will not cook any of the carbon. Continues the Gemara, masnisin deloik Rabbi Yehuda, this Mishnah seems not to follow the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, de tanya Rabbi Yehuda oimer, Kashem sheshput shel eitz eino nisraf, in the same way as using a wooden spit, then the part of the wood that's inside the animal, that's poked through, there's only a little bit of wood on each side sticking out, but the part that's inside does not get burnt because the animal itself, the carcass, is protecting that part of the wood from getting burnt. Kach shput shel matchas, the same applies to a metal spit, eino martiach, that the part of the spit that's inside the animal does not get hot. And that seems to be contrary to what it says in our Mishnah, that you have to use a shput shel rimoin and not a shput shel mateches, as the Gemara explained. And the Gemara explained that the reason that our Mishnah does not allow you to use a metal spit is because it gets hot inside. In this braisa, it seems Rabbi Yehuda holds that the part inside does not get hot enough to be an issue. Amru lo, the Chachomim said to Rabbi Yehuda that don't compare the metal to the wood. Zeh, regarding the metal, cham miktsosei cham kuloi, if part of the metal gets hot, the metal transmits the heat and the whole metal will get hot. But in contrast to that, zeh, regarding the wooden spit, cham miktsosei einei cham kuloi, if part of it gets hot, that does not transmit the heat to the rest of it, and therefore the part inside it does not get burnt. Continues the Gemara. V'noisin es kuro'ov v'chulu. We saw in the Mishnah, what do you do with the parts of the Korban Pesach that are not anymore whole, the parts that have been removed from the Pesach? They also have to be roasted. What did they do with it? They would put it, noisin es krov es panemi of letoiche. Rabbi Yitzchak Lili said they would put it inside. And Rabbi Akiva said that you can't put it inside because that would be similar to cooking. Rather, you hang it outside the animal. Says the Gemara, Tani we learnt in the Braisa. Rabbi Shmuel koirehu toich toich. Some say this is toich toich, as in inside, inside, because Rabbi Shmuel here is following the opinion of Rabbi Yosi Aglili that they would put those parts of the animal back inside the carcass. Some say it's tuch tuch, which is the sound that gets made when something is cooked in a pot. And these insides, these krov and bnei mea, which are put inside the animal, somewhat, so to speak, cooking in there, make this tuch tuch sound. Rabbi Tarfon says, no, Rabbi Tarfon says, like Rabbi Akiva, that they are not put inside, they're put outside the animal. He calls it kerehu gdi mekulus, a goat which is mekulus. And mekulus, Rashi here seems to say it means helmeted, it's like a hat, which means that on the spit, just beyond the mouth of the animal, they would poke, or they would wrap these parts of the animal, the krov and the bnei meov. Rashi earlier on Daf Nun Gimel, seems to say that the word mekulus actually means not a helmeted goat, rather an armored goat. And a person doesn't wear his armor on his head, he wears his armor beside himself, just next to himself. So according to that, this would mean, according to Reb Tarfon, then the krov and the bnei meov were not put beyond where the mouth of the animal is, rather it was put next to the animal in the fire at the same time, just next to the animal, not on top of it. Tanu Rabbanon, eizeh ugdi mekulus, that da'osa lechol b'leile pesach b'zman hazeh. We saw already on early on in the Masechta that a gdi mekulus, which is this, even nowadays, if you took a goat and you roasted it, mekulus, then you're not allowed to eat it on Leil Pesach, even though if it's not a Korban Pesach, you're not allowed to do that. B'zman hazeh, in what case? Why not? Because it looks like it's kochim, it looks like it's a Korban, and it looks like you're eating a Korban outside the Beis HaMikdosh. You're not allowed to do that. Outside Yerushalayim, you're not allowed to eat in Chutz La'aretz, or outside Yerushalayim, you're not allowed to eat the Korban Pesach. So we saw previously already, you're not allowed to eat Gdi Mekulus on Leil Pesach, even if it's not a Korban. But what's called Gdi Mekulus? What makes it similar to what they did with Korban Pesach? Kol Shetzoloi Kuloi Ke'echot. That's providing that the whole Gdi, the whole goat, is being roasted in one go, in one piece. But if you have lots of pieces of goat and you roast it, that's not called mekulos, and that you can eat on the Seder night. Nechtach mimenu eiver, if you cut a single limb off the goat, nishlak mimenu eiver, and then you take that limb and you boil it, then there is either you just cut off that limb, or you cut it off and then you boil it, that's not like a Korban Pesach. A Korban Pesach, you were not allowed to cut any limbs off. Asks the Gemara, I don't understand how you read this. If you first said that just cutting off one of the limbs, even though you're going to roast that limb together with the rest of the Korban, since you've cut it off, that even though you're going to roast it together with the animal, you said it's not called mekulos and you're allowed to, nishlak, if then go and take that limb and you boil it, you can take that for granted, even if you didn't boil it, even if it was not nishlak, you just cut it off and roasted it, it's already not called mekulos, as it says, kol shek tzoloi kuloi ke'echod, nichtach mimenu eiver, that's already sufficient. Omer of Sheshes says, no, you have to read it a little bit differently. You have to read it, Nechtach mimenu eiver, if you cut off one of its limbs, even if you roasted it, it's not called mekulos. If you didn't cut off one of its limbs, and nishlak, that means the nishlak is going back not on the eiver that you cut, but going on the Korban Pesach. If you had one limb that was still attached to the Korban Pesach, and you boiled it, and didn't fry it, and didn't roast it, sorry, tesholkei b'mechubar, if you boiled that limb whilst it was still attached to the animal, even though the whole animal has not been cut, it's a whole, nonetheless, since part of it was boiled and not roasted, it's already not gdi mekulos, and you're allowed to eat it on Pesach. Continues the Gemara, Omar Rava, hai mulaisa. Mulaisa is typically an animal that was roasted, but inside the animal, inside the carcass, they would fill up this animal would be stuffed with raw meat. And when they were roasting the external, the carcass that was holding it, then the raw meat would also get roasted and become edible at the same time. Sharia, because what's the issue? The issue is that we know that you're not, when you shecht an animal, you have to salt it. You have to remove the blood. Now, if you want to cook an animal and there's blood in it, that's very serious, and you have to remove all the blood before with a proper process, a procedure called salting with a lot of salt. If you want to roast it, then roasting, the virtue of the fact that you're just roasting the meat, that itself removes the blood, and therefore the amount of salt you need to put on it is minimal relative to the amount of salt you need to put on if you're planning to cook the animal and not roast it. The question is, over here, that you're roasting the carcass, and the rest of the meat, the raw meat that you've stuffed this animal with, it's saturated with blood. Where's that blood going to go? It's going to come out of that raw piece of meat. It's going to be absorbed in the carcass, and then we're going to have an issue. The carcass is then going to be absorbed with blood, and that's treif. You're not allowed to eat it. And here it says it's mutter. Omale Abaya. Abaya asked, v'hokabola doma. The carcass, the animal that's holding that meat, is absorbing the blood from the raw meat inside. So why is it sharia? Why is it mutter? Answers the Gemara, Omale, a rabbi said to Abaya, kabol o kachpolta. This is a rule that we have, and here we're using this rule only regarding roasting. That when you roast something on fire, then in the same way as whatever's being roasted might absorb some of the blood, but in the same way as it absorbed it, it expels it as well. Kabol oy, as it's absorbed, kach poltoy. The process of roasting will make sure that the blood that was absorbed will then be expelled and released, and therefore the whole thing is mutter. Neimim Maseile, should we try and bring proof from our Mishnah to this rule that Rabbi said that kaboy loy kach poltoy? What does it say in our Mishnah? Noisin es krov es bnei meyav latoichoy. We saw, according to Rabbi Yossi Aglili, you take the krov, the legs, and the bnei meyav, and put it inside the korban pesach. You'd roast the korban pesach, and it would all be mutter. My tama, why is it mutter? Why are we not afraid that the blood of the krov and the bnei meyav will be absorbed in the rest of the korban pesach? Lav, is it not mishum domrinon kaboylo kach poltoy? Is it not because of this rule that Rabbi said? Says the Gemara, Omri, no, there's no proof from here. Shani hasam, given de ikka beis hashchita, since the animal is held mouth down, and the place where the shchita is actually an exit, there's a way for the blood to escape, so anything, any blood that's going to be expelled in this animal is just going to flow right out, and is not going to be absorbed into the animal. So you don't need the rule of kaboy lekach poltoy in order to say that this is kosher. Shan yasam kiven de ikka beis hashchita, since you've got the place where the animal shechted de mechalchel, which is hollow, made of divi, and any blood that gets extracted into it will just flow out of the animal. Says the Gemara, Neimu Maseile, I'll bring you proof from elsewhere. We've learnt that halev, the heart, is full of blood. So of course you have to salt it. But besides for salting the animal, besides for salting the heart of the animal, it contains blood inside it. So you have to tear the heart open and release any blood that was collected there. Halev, and there's many details to this, but it's a Gemara in Chulin. We're not going into those details here. Koiro, you have to tear open the heart. Umoitzi as domo, and remove any blood that's collected there. Loi koroi, if you didn't cut open the heart before you roasted it, before you did the salting or whatever you had to do, then koiro le'achar bishuloi. Then after you bishuloi, he means roasting. After you roasted it, and the roasting extracted and expelled any of the blood that was within the walls of the heart, but the blood that was inside the heart, that is still there. You have to cut it open afterwards, or mutter, and then let the blood that was collected there flow out, and then it's mutter. Why should that be true, says the Gemara Maitama? Why are you not concerned that the heart is going to absorb the blood that was inside it? Is it not because of this rule that Rabbi said, and in the same way as it absorbed the blood, it expelled the blood? So I've got proof to Rabbi. Says the Gemara, no. Shan leiv tashia. The meat, the flesh of the heart is very smooth, and therefore it doesn't absorb at all. And for that price, even if you cooked it and you didn't roast it, it would still be okay, because the blood that was inside it, that means even before we said that it's relying on kaboy lekach poltoy, that's only with roasting. But if you cooked it with the blood inside it, you wouldn't say kaboy lekach poltoy, and even according to Rabbah, the whole heart would be treif. But now that we're saying the heart is very smooth, it doesn't absorb at all. So even if you cooked it like this, then without tearing it open first, the heart itself would still be kosher. Ask the Gemara. V'harovin saba, Rovin the elder, tofle, they would wrap in dough, hahu bar goizlo, this young dove, they would wrap it up in dough, l'rav, and they prepared this for Rav. V'omar le, and he said to him, Rav said, I assume to Rovin saba, I maile tofle, if this coating, if it's tasty, havli v'eichel, give it to me, and I want to eat it. This seems to be proof to Rabba that even though some of the blood that's going to be extracted from this young dove whilst it's being roasted is going to be absorbed into this dough, how is it mutter to eat it? It must be that kaboyle kach paltoi. Says the Gemara, there's no proof. Hahi besmida. There we're talking about was very fine flour, demufrid, which is very crumbly, and therefore even if some blood was extracted from the young dove and was absorbed into this dough, but since it's got its cracks, it very easily crumbles, then it will just let the blood flow out of it and drop away and not get absorbed into the dough itself. Asks the Gemara, V'harava ikla lebei resh galusa, Rava was visiting the resh galusa, V'toflu lei, and they coated for him with this dough, bar avza, a young goose, Omar, and he said, Iloi de chazite de zig, if I would not have noticed that the liquid that's being expelled from this, the gravy or whatever, the liquid being expelled from this young goose, the zig, that it's completely clear, kazuza chivra, like totally transparent and clear glass, la'ochlu mineh, wouldn't have eaten it. But now that I can see that the juices from this are completely clear, I know that there's no blood that was, that none of this liquid was absorbed in the dough, because the dough is completely clear. The dough is clear, nothing, no discoloration. I know there's no blood here, that's why I can eat it. V'isal k'daitach, if you're going to say k'bolo kach poltoi, that in the same way as it absorbed it, it expelled it, my irio kizig, why does it have to be completely clear? Afilu kiloi zig nami. According to Rabba, we have an issue here. Why did Rava, by the Resh Galusa, why did he say that I'm only eating it because I can see that whatever was extracted from this goose is completely clear? Even if it's not clear, if you say Kabbalah Kachpolto, even if it's discolored, we assume it's just the discoloring of the gravy or the other juices, but it's not blood. Because the rule of Kabbalah Kachpolto says that any blood that this dough would have absorbed is going to get expelled as well. Says the Gemara Hosam Bechivrusa. There we're talking about white flour, the shorir, which is very firm, and therefore in that case we have a problem with the kaboyle kach poltoi. There's something stopping the expelling of the blood because it's quite a tough dough made of this flour, and therefore only because I can see that it's completely clear and nothing was absorbed in it, therefore I know it's edible, I'm allowed to eat it, it's kosher. But if it's a bit discolored, I cannot rely on kaboyle kach poltoi, even though normally we do hold of kaboyle kach poltoi. V'hilchasad halacha is the smida, that this very fine flour that doesn't really absorb the blood, it just lets the blood fall through it. Bein ismik, bein lo ismik, irrespective of whether the dough became discolored by the juices or didn't become discolored, ismik is red, became reddened or didn't become reddened, sharia, it's mutar, because as we said before, that even if you wouldn't hold of kabbalah kach poltoi over there, it would not absorb the blood. The chivrasa, if it's quite a stiff and hard flour and dough, as we saw before, then izig, if it's clear, kazuza chivra, like transparent glass, then shari, then it's muta. Iloi, but if it's not completely clear, asar, then it's asar. Because if it's not completely clear, it may have absorbed something, and if it absorbed some of the blood, it would not expel it because it's tough. The shari kamochim, however, any other flours, ismuk, only if it became reddened. It doesn't need to be clear like transparent glass. As long as it's reddened, only then it's osa. Iloy ismuk, if it didn't become reddened, then shari, then it's mutar. Continues the Gemara. Hai mulaisa, if you had this mulaisa we mentioned before, you're roasting an animal, inside it you had some raw meat that was getting, getting ready to be eaten as well. Man de osar afilu puma lesita. The one that says you're not allowed to eat it because it absorbs the blood. That means the carcass of the roasted animal is absorbing the blood that's being expelled from the raw meat inside it. Afilu puma lesita. Letachas, even if the mouth of the animal is facing down, which means that the blood would have where to flow to, it's nonetheless still asa. Umandashari, the one that says it's mutar, is a filu puma le'il, even if the mouth is facing upwards, we say kaboyle kachpoltoi, and it's mutar. Vilchasad aloche is mulaisa shari a filu puma le'il, that mulaisa is mutar, even if the mouth is facing upwards. Continues the Gemara. Umtsa, which is raw meat, bea, the testicles, umizuraki, and the major arteries in the neck or in the animal, pligi bor of achavaravina. It's going to be a machlokas. We'll soon see that there's going to be some halachas they both agree on, but the one halacha, which means that if they were roasted on coals, they were roasted in coals, then it's a question, has the blood been extracted from them or not? Is it considered like roasting on fire where the blood gets extracted and it's mutar or not? And that's going to be a machlokes of Acha and Ravina. And now the Gemara digresses for a moment, just that we should understand what we're dealing with, that b'kol ha-tirikula, in the whole of Shas, whenever the rule is that Rav Acha, or you'll find, I don't know if it's a rule, but you'll find Rav Acha l'chumra, Ravina l'kula. Whenever the Rav Acha and Ravina are arguing, Rav Acha is being more stringent and Ravina is being more lenient. V'hilchasa, in all those cases, the halacha is like Ravina l'kula, like the more lenient opinion, Ravina. Lebar mehanetlas, besides for these three, umtza, beya, or mizraki, the Rav Acha l'kula, if you're going to see that it's a machlekas and it's the Gemara, or the Brises are not going to make it clear that who says what, then you can be assured that Rav Acha is the one who's more lenient, v'ravina l'chumra, and Ravina is the one that's more stringent, v'hilchasuk Rav Acha l'kula, and halacha is going to be like Rav Acha l'kula. Now let's go back, let's see what these three are. Hai umtza. Umtza de ismik. You had raw meat that was reddened. That means that some of the blood had been, something had happened to one of the blood vessels in this raw meat, and it's a problem. There's blood that's collected there, and chotchei, you have to cut open where the blood was collected, umolchei, and then you salt it. Once you've cut it open and you've salted it, afilu l'kadeira shari, after that you can even cook it in a pot. Shabdei b'shbuda, if you roasted it on a spit, shari, you're also allowed to eat this umtza de ismik. Why? Because made of dayev, because the blood is going to just flow out of it because of the roasting. As we saw before, the roasting, it very much attracts the blood to the heat of the fire and it pulls out all the blood. And therefore the blood that gets pulled out is going to just flow away and it's kosher. Ochse agumra, if you place it in coals, this is the machlokes, pligi bor of Acha v'Ravina. Chad, we don't know who, but we do know who. The Gemara doesn't tell us, it just says one of them. We know that it must be Ravina because it says osar. One opinion says it's osar, which is more stringent. And we saw before that these three, Ravina is the chumra. V'chad, but Rav Acha Shari says it's mutar. Man de osar, the one that says it's osar, the reason is matzmis tzomis. Since he's roasting it on coals, the coals makes it shrink, makes it shrivel, and that makes the animal, makes the meat, actually absorb the blood. And that's why it's treif, it's osar. Uman de shari, but the opinion that says it's mutar holds mishav shoiv, that the coals actually attract the blood to it and allow them to flow out of this meat. V'hilchasad aloch is, as we saw before, like the lenient opinion, that mish avshoiv, that the blood gets drawn out of it and it flows away and does not stay absorbed in the meat. V'chein beya, the same applies to the testicles. Chotchinu, if you cut them open, umolchinu, and you salted them, afilu l'kadeir asharion, you're even allowed to cook them. Tolinu b'shbuda, if you just hang them on a spit, being roasted on the fire, sharion, that's also muta. made of divy because the blood just flows away from it. Achse agumra, if you place them on the coals, then pligi bar ravacha v'ravina, chad osar ravina says it's osar, v'chad shari ravacha says it's mutar, man da osar matzmis tzomis, the one that says it's osar, it's because again the coals makes it shrivel, makes it contract, and therefore the blood is going to be absorbed, not expelled. Uman da shari, the one that says it's mutar, holds mish av shoiv, that the coals actually pull and draw the blood out of these bea, out of these testicles, and then they are kosher. V'chein mizriki, these major arteries, the same applies. Chotche, if you cut them first, umolche, and then you salt them, afilu l'kadeil shari, you can then even cook them in a pot. Talya b'shpude, if you just hung them on a spit in the on a fire, beisa shchita l'tatoi, providing that where the place where they shechted it, where the end of this artery is, the opening, is facing down, shari, then it's mutar. Made of doiv, because the blood flows out of them. Ochse agumra, if you just place them in coals, pligi ravacha v'ravina, it's machlekes again, chad omar, chad osar, ravina says it's osar, v'chad shari, and ravacha says it's mutar. Man da osar matzmit somis, the one that says osar is again, the coals makes it shrivel up, and therefore the blood will not get expelled from it. Man da shari, the one that says it's mutar, mishav shoyi holds that the coals are actually going to draw out the blood. V'hilchas tadalocha is mishav shoiv, that the blood gets drawn out of it and it's kosher. Continues the Gemara. Hai umtsad ismik, if you had this raw piece of meat that was very reddened and you roasted it, and we know that if you roast meat, all the blood gets drawn out of it and it's kosher. However, chalya, the juices, if the juices that came out of it afterwards, since this meat was very reddened and there was blood that was collected in it, then the juices, the reddened juices that come out of it, osar. We assume that these juices still contain some of the blood and it's osar. Loy ismik. However, if this raw meat was not particularly red, that means it didn't have any signs of blood collected there, then chalyo, then the juices coming out of it, shari, we assume that there's no blood in them, and these juices are mutar. And the Mefarashim discussed that if you know there's blood still there, then just because the blood didn't come out in the juices, why is it mutar to eat the meat? It's a good question, and the Mefarashim discuss it. Ravina Omar. Ravina says, afilu loy ismik. Even if this raw meat was not particularly reddened in any one area, nami chalya osar. Nonetheless, the juices coming out of them are still osar, even though you've roasted it. It's not possible that this little streak, a small amount of streaks of blood haven't come out of the animal, even though it's been roasted into the blood. Omale mar bar ameimer Ravashi. Mar bar aveimer said to Ravashi, Abba, my father ameimer, migmale gmue. He would drink these juices that came out of them. That means those, the pieces of meat that were not particularly red beforehand, if they were roasted properly, then the juices that came out of them, he would drink them. Ika de omra, others say, Rav Ashi gufe megamale gmue, it wasn't a maimer who would drink these juices, rather it was Rav Ashi himself who would drink these juices. Continues the Gemara, omale mar bar ameimer Rav Ashi. Mar bar ameimer said to Rav Ashi, Abba, my father ameimer, Hai chola, that was a custom at the time that after they roasted the meat to remove the main bulk of the blood, then they would soak this roasted meat in vinegar to remove the last remnants of the blood. And there's a discussion here in the Rishonim exactly why they would do this and was it necessary. But this vinegar, the cholit bechod zimna, that was already used once, that they would soak this roasted meat in it once to remove the last bits of blood, suloi toni cholit be, they would not use the same vinegar a second time to remove the last bits of blood from a different piece of roasted meat. Maishno mechol metamho. Why is using a stronger vinegar a second time, even though it's got weakened since it was used once, and it's now weakened, why is that less good than weak vinegar that you're allowed to use to remove this blood? The choltinon bay, that we do soak roasted meat in it to remove the blood, answers the Gemara Hossam, in the case of the vinegar in its original state that happened to be a bit weaker, issue le kiyua de pera be'ena, it still has its original strength for what it was, a bit weaker, but it's got its own original strength, and therefore it can extract the last bits of blood. Hacha, however, this vinegar that's already been used once, leisa le kiyua de pera be'ena, its original strength that it had initially and naturally, its natural strength has been weakened, and therefore, even though it's not less strong than a weaker vinegar, but since it doesn't have its natural strength anymore, it cannot pull out the blood, and therefore it cannot be used. And Emir Tzashem, in the next shir, we're going to continue the next sugya.